We will take time to turn to the Word of God now, as we always do, and we will look, because we know that our hope is not, as we've just been praying, is not in ourselves. Our strength comes from looking to the Lord and being encouraged with His eternal truths. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew 6:24, looking at a great passage, perhaps a familiar one, that encourages us in this area of anxiety. And I know that this is an applicable passage for the time that we're in. It just seems like in 2020, if it's not one thing, there's another, and we've gone through difficult issues. But I don't want to merely preach this because of COVID-19, because being anxious, worrying, the struggles of life, that's nothing that's new to any of us, right? Perhaps times like this increase it. They might provoke or reveal our tendency toward anxiety in our hearts, toward being anxious, toward stressing about things. But really, anything in life can provoke that. We could be anxious about work, about the meeting that we have, the difficult person we have to deal with at work this next week. We could be anxious for our children. We could be anxious about financial issues, checkbook, how are our ends going to meet. I know that may be a concern for people during this time. We've prayed this morning about current events, politics, big issues in our society. How are these things going to turn out? Worrying about the future, wondering what's going to happen. I know for me, I didn't realize how much of a worrier I was until I started having kids and then I became a pastor. Right, and this is this text has been really encouraging, and I've needed this week, because I know one of my battles continually is to be anxious about things, not lay them before the Lord. At the beginning of this, when all this was rolling out, I think I was just really tired at that point, which didn't help. And I know I spent some increasingly early mornings over here calling upon the Lord, wondering, where is this all going to go? Our church has stopped in the way that we normally do it for a moment. What's going to happen? I have an elderly congregation, right? There's worries and anxiety, and I'm thankful for the Lord's provision to walk through with me and comfort my heart and to be able to call upon Him. But that's what we can be like as people. It's as we'll see in this passage, Jesus says, this is what people are normally like. But He encourages us to honor Him in a different way. So we're going to see in this passage today that one of the cure for anxiety is trusting in God's rule and His care for His people. Right, not God is big and powerful and ruling over all, and He loves us. But there's both aspects of His character there come together, and Jesus brings that to the forefront here. We're going to see that anxiety comes when our minds are not properly focused on God and His daily provisions, day after day, daily providing for us. And so let's turn, I think many of you, I can see you are, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24 through 34. Some of your Bibles might have a section break before verse 25, but I think it's so important for us to look at verse 24. We're jumping right into Jesus' amazing Sermon on the Mount, where He's showing us, He's telling us to have a kingdom perspective, to see things the way they are in light of who God is. And so Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus, the master communicator in this incredible sermon, he gives us, in this section, he gives us his main point, some illustrations, and application at the end, like any good preacher would. And so in verse 24 through 25, we kind of see his thesis, his teaching point here. It's not merely about anxiety, it's about focusing our hearts on who do we serve. Right? Verse 24, you can't serve two masters. Right? You can't have two people in charge of your life. You don't want two masters. They're gonna contradict each other, they're gonna pull and tug and redirect your priorities. One's gonna focus on one area, one on the other, and it'll make life difficult. And the master that God is talking about, he says, you can't serve God. And our translations, maybe they say money. The word there is mammon. The idea is possessions, things. And the big idea, the main point that Jesus is getting at here, is not merely that things are bad. It's that don't let the accumulation of stuff, the daily grind, as we talked about earlier, will the checkbook balance? What am I going to wear tomorrow? How is the things going to go? Don't let those things overwhelm and become more important than living for the kingdom, than honoring the Lord. Let God dictate your priorities, not the day-to-day things of this world. Don't let the putting money away for retirement, the planning and things like that become the most important. We are made as people to serve God, not the day-to-day. And that really is the gospel. Right, that's the call of the gospel. That's the call of this whole book. Who do you serve? Right, if people have not bowed their knee to the Lord, the call is, do you serve him? Have you ever surrendered and lined your priorities up with him? And then as Christians, we are learning throughout our whole lives. We're growing in understanding and reality of how we can walk in light of the one who we serve. Because we serve Jesus, this is how we live. And that's why Jesus is encouraging us this way in the Sermon on the Mount. Right? Our King is Jesus, so therefore we ought to live in a different way. We ought to live, verse 25 says, for more than food and clothing. And I think it's important for us to define a couple things here as we look at this text. Jesus, through the pen of Matthew, is writing to us to encourage us not to be anxious. This text can be used in kind of a trite, simple way, perhaps, to say something like, well, don't worry, be happy, perhaps. But that's not what Jesus was getting at here, right? The Bible is a real book. It's based in reality. Jesus isn't denying that life will be hard. In fact, we'll see later here, he talks about, don't worry about tomorrow because this is going to be enough trouble. I guarantee you there's going to be trouble for tomorrow, but you're not called to worry about it. Right? Jesus is being very real here. He's not saying that there shouldn't be concerns, right? We wouldn't have a heartbeat if we didn't look at the things that are going on right now and have some concerns. Realize that there are difficult issues. See the need for help and to focus ourselves. So it's not wrong. That's why I want to define this. Well, it's not wrong. So for example, perhaps a wife and a husband, and the husband has a difficult job, a dangerous job, right? It wouldn't be wrong every day as the husband goes off to work for the wife to think, man, I need to pray for his safety. That's concerning. What would be bad is if that dominated her thinking and prolonged it and paralyzed her from even moving forward or from doing what the Lord had called her to do well. Right? Seeing concerning things is not wrong. It's what we do with them. So Jesus is dealing with anxiety here. which would be that form of worry that produces tension and turmoil and struggle in us. Really what it is when we're being anxious is we're trying to fix it. I see that in my own heart. I want to figure out how I can solve it. And we'll see here, Jesus focuses us here and says, there's so much in life you can't trust me. So, anxiety, fretting, dominating our thinking. And also, this passage is not against planning. Jesus isn't just saying here, don't ever plan ahead. Just hope that you can get by day after day. What he's saying here is don't be dominated by that sort of thinking. Don't let the planning get in the way of your joy, of our hope in me. We can get so caught up when things don't go the way we want, we get anxious. It reveals our love of possessions of mammon. So this passage isn't an excuse to plan ahead. What it's saying is just don't freak out, panic when God does unravel your plans. Because that happens. He does that. And so this section of scripture is a challenge for us to remember who is actually in charge, us or God. That may seem like a basic statement, but it really is. It's good for us to remind ourselves again and again, we are not in control. If we're honest, we have very little control over even in our own lives. Like we can try to control what we can, but there's so much change and difficulty and struggle and things that can just, the plans changing quickly. And we need to have our hope in God. And so Jesus gives four examples. We're going to see four examples, and then at the end, four application points that he makes toward us on how we ought to live. So four examples to encourage us on why we can have hope in God. Verse 26, he says, the birds do not go hungry. Look at the birds. They don't neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. All right, we don't see birds adding on to the birdhouse, so to speak. Like to put away a little more, right? Now the idea in this isn't that they don't work. Right? Birds are, if you watch birds or any kind of animal, they spend their time and their days seeking to provide for themselves, looking for food and whatnot. But what Jesus is saying here is they don't worry about it. They don't fret about it. They trust in God to provide it continually. We have the example here in the Skoke Valley. The floods come up in the fall, and the eagles just have a feast provided for them free of charge by God. God provides for them. He provides for nature. And Jesus says at the end of verse 26, are you not of more value than they? God has there's an amazing care and design and thought that he puts into controlling all that goes on in nature. But brothers and sisters, you and I, as human beings, we are created in the image of God. And so we can find great hope that he would show much more care to those of us, to those who are eternal beings, eternal souls. That's verse 26. Verse 27, he says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Now there's a debate here, a translation debate, that I think this is a good translation here. Jesus could be saying add an hour to your life, span to your life, or it could be saying add an inch to your height. Inch to your height wouldn't make, I don't think, a ton of sense in this. But the idea that Jesus is trying to portray is, what can you change? What can you and I really do by worrying? Does it change it? Does it fix it? Does it make it better? No. In fact, I had one brother come up to me after the last service, and he was so right. He said, really, anxiety, all it can do is make us feel worse. I can give you an ulcer. It can cause sleeplessness, make you more tired. We can't change it, and we must remind ourselves of that, as I mentioned earlier. There's such a, I think, such a leveling thing about realizing that we are not in control, but God is, that our hope is in him. There's a discipline it takes to ceasing to worry and placing our circumstances in God's arms, finding our hope in Him. That's what Jesus is trying to say in verse 27. You're going to change it. You're not going to give yourself more time. It's not going to, our ceaseless worry isn't going to fix it. But God can. And over time, He will. He will do His work. He will do His work. So that's the second example. The third one is in verses 28 through 29. He talks about the lilies of the field. He says the lilies don't worry about what they're going to put on, what they're going to wear. And yet God created them in a way to be glorious, to be beautiful, even more than Solomon's temple, which is one of the wonders of the ancient world. Right, while we were all gone, so there are a few people around the church, but not too many. And yet the flowers, they grew. They just came up again this year. The rains came and the sun came out, as the children's song would say, and they grew because God took care of them. In His sovereignty and His plan, the flowers came out this year, and they're beautiful, they're wonderful. The Psalms talk about how nature screams the glory of God. It preaches, it talks about how great God is. God put so much care into them, we can trust that He will take care of us. And then finally, in verse 30, God talks about grass. God takes care of the grass. And this is an interesting one, right? We can, I think, perhaps see the beauty, you know, in how God takes care of creation and feeds the animals and the beauty of flowers. But grass is such an ordinary thing. We walk on it, we cut it down, right? And I think that's kind of the point here, that God would take care and put care into something so ordinary as grass, so simple, that dries out in the summer and is just thrown out, is mowed away. God takes care of grass. Grass that's alive today and is thrown into the oven, right? The animals eat it and we eat the animals and there goes the grass. And yet, God takes care of it. How much more will He clothe you of you of little faith? Right? Jesus starts to probe at their hearts here. You have small faith. God would take so much care into these things. You can trust Him to take care and to love and to provide for you. In a commentary I read this week, he made this point. He said, if the logic of his argument, of Jesus' argument, is granted, right? If we can trust that what he said is true, and we can, because what Jesus says is always true, right? Then worry can only result from a lack of genuine belief in God's goodness and mercy. R. Mounts says, worry is practical atheism and an affront to God. Ouch. What a quote. That one didn't go down easy when I first read it. But it's so true. Practical atheism, what does that mean? Right? We're gathered here as people that believe in God and know that He exists and based our lives. Well, yes, there's one thing to know it, but there's another thing to live it. And practically, often we struggle with that follow through to live what we believe. And worry can be showing that we're not truly in that moment or that time trusting in God's care and God's love for us. A challenging reminder. And so as we wind down now, Jesus has some exhortations for us. In verses 31 through 34. First of all, he says, don't live like the world in anxious toil. He says, I want you to be different. I want my people to be marked by a trust, a settledness, a steadiness, a hope in me, that I will care for them. Don't be like the Gentiles. The word Gentiles, I wasn't trying to make any sort of statement by that other than the people of the world. Those who don't fear God, they worship idols and other things and spend their time in toil, anxiously hoping that their God will care for them. I have promised you I will. Trust in me. Second, Jesus' exhortation is to know that God knows what we need daily. And this is a big takeaway, I think, from this passage, the daily part. If you just glance back, we're in Matthew 6, verse 11, in that amazing prayer that the Lord made, with example of the prayer that we should pray. He has this phrase in there, to give us this day our daily bread. I wasn't praying about tomorrow or that I'll have enough for this month. Just today. Help me today. And that perspective, I think, is so important, so crucial that we have a day-to-day perspective, knowing that God will provide what we need today. And he says something about tomorrow later. We'll get to that in just a minute. But we need to trust in his care daily. And third, we need to be about seeking his kingdom, being kingdom-minded. This involves, I think, a lot of prayer. When I look up, here's some verses about anxiety throughout the rest of Scripture. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't be anxious. Right, we've talked about that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Call upon God. He's the one who can help. He can move mountains. He can do amazing things. He can settle our hearts to trust him. But often that's one of the biggest hurdles. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So this passage in 1 Peter tells us several things. We need to cast our anxieties on him, throw them on God, call upon him. Nothing is insignificant in his eyes. He knows the daily struggles we go through. Call upon him for help. And in so doing this, there's a humbling that he uses to preach, to speak of his goodness. Or there's a humility that is created as we acknowledge that we are not in control, God is. And that humility ought to lead to personal growth. Right? Through trials, what God is doing is growing us and encouraging us and strengthening our inner man, making us stronger in him. And then the fourth takeaway we see here in verse 34, don't be anxious about the future. Verse 34 is so good. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Really what he's saying is, I've got it. Let me worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I know the future. You be focused on what I have for you today. Don't let the big picture, the turmoils, the struggles, these big issues keep you from being focused on me and honoring me today. And tomorrow, he'll be there to help again. And there is so much worrying about tomorrow, the big picture, these issues. Social media really does, it's fueled on a lot of that. Worrying about, oh, this has happened, and so now we know that. I think that we may be better off not listening to some of their voices. Again, not sticking our heads in the sand and acting like things aren't bad. But it was so interesting to me just because of events that were going on, and I took some of the social media apps off my phone, and just the next morning I could tell I'm a little less worried about this stuff. It's not right in my face being pushed. Right? Maybe it's the news that does that for you. But we don't want to be oblivious to what's going on in the world around us. But we need to be faithful to do what God has called us to do and hope in what he has called us to hope in, to live as he has called us to. Let's not get caught up and sucked in to the aimless speculation about what may happen. God knows, and our hope is in him. And so, as we close today, we need to remember, we don't know the future. We don't. Who would have thought we'd be sitting here resuming church after several months of not being able to meet together, right? Meeting in a different way. None of us would have planned this or thought this through. But this, none of this caught God by surprise. I'm thankful for that. I'm encouraged by that. And so we need to learn to trust him today. Trust that he holds our cares and our struggles in his hands and find hope in him daily, day after day. So let me close us in prayer, and then we'll be done with our service, and we can go and trust in our great God. Lord, thank you that we can find our great hope in you. You are our King, our ruler. This passage, I hope it encourages and challenges us in a good way. Lord, challenging in that really is the people of this world, us of this world, we're so prone to worry and to fear and to anxiety. Yet, as the song says, you've got the whole world in your hands. That is so true. You are in control. You are reigning over all. You are caring for our lives. You care about providing the food and clothing and the blessings that you have for today. And tomorrow, well, you've got that figured out too. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great hope. I pray that you line our priorities up. May we be kingdom-minded. May we be focused on seeking you and living for you and walking righteously before you and watching as your plan unfolds. Lord, your ways are good, and I'm thankful for your care. Thank you that we can look at creation and realize you put so much care and thought and wisdom into how this world functions, how the plants and animals, and yet we are so much more valuable as those made in your image. Thank you. Thank you that you care for people. Thank you for the great love of Jesus that was poured out on the cross and whose hope we have. So Lord, fix our eyes on you as we go this week, for it's in your name that I pray. Amen.